This is America Weekend, a different kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for joining me. If you're a regular listener of this show, you know I like to go after nonsense, whether it's people who claim paranormal abilities or psychic abilities or who are using bad science to make a living. And my next guest likes to go after them as well. His name is Paul Offit. He is the chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the author of a terrific new book, which I hope a lot of people will read. It's called Do You Believe in Magic? The Sense and Nonsense of Alternative Medicine. Dr. Offit, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul.
When you talk about alternative medicine, I always think of the line, you know what they call alternative medicine that works? Medicine. How bad is alternative medicine for America's health?
I think on balance, it's generally not harmful. I think where we get into trouble is in four areas. One is when we choose alternative remedies when conventional medicine would work a lot better. Steve Jobs is probably the best example of that. He had a treatable pancreatic tumor, and he chose an alternative route, which ultimately led to his death. The second is when we take alternative medicines and assume they're under this sort of untouchable halo, that they're all natural and they can't possibly hurt us. In fact, anything that has a positive effect can have a negative effect, and some of these dietary supplements can be quite harmful. Unfortunately, because they're not FDA regulated, these companies are under no obligation to support their claims or admit their harms. And then the thing that bugs me the most, actually, is when there are charlatans who are perfectly willing to make a fortune off of your misfortune, where medicine can't treat things like, say, autism or certain cancers, they step in and claim that they can. You know, what your doctor doesn't want you to know, what the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know, that's the most egregious part of alternative medicine.
I want to go back to the regulation of these alternative medicines. You said the FDA doesn't really keep an eye on them. Is that because Congress got in the way?
That's exactly why. I mean, in 1994, there was the creation, I think, of one of the worst acts in this country, the so-called Dietary Supplement and Health Education Act. The New York Times called it the Snake Oil Protection Act, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's an education act that has nothing to do with education and everything to do with the consumer not knowing what they're buying.
Now, what bothers me about this sort of stuff is that because the FDA is prohibited from regulating it, that means that it goes onto the shelves and people look at it and see the claims made by the manufacturers of alternative medicines and homeopathy and that sort of stuff, and they believe it because there's nobody checking that. How harmful does that stuff turn out to be for people who are truly sick? I'm not talking about a healthy person who maybe takes too many vitamins, but a person who really, really is sick.
Can be quite harmful. It's always done in this sort of vague, wink and nod way, the way that these products are labeled. So it's, you know, supports prostate health, supports heart health, you know, supports joint health. And sometimes, for example, people who really do have enlarged prostates are going to think that saw palmetto can shrink their prostate, when that's just not true and has been shown not to be true, whereas there are medicines out there that can relieve some of the symptoms of prostatic enlargement, and those who choose an alternative route could really hurt themselves.
You start the book telling a story of a 10-year-old boy by the name of Joey Hofbauer, who, like Steve Jobs, who you mentioned, was very, very sick. He had Hodgkin's disease, and his family, instead of going the standard cancer therapy route, went with alternative treatments. How often do you see things like that?
Occasionally. We see it occasionally. I mean, for the most part, people, when they have children with cancer, will choose a regular route, which is to say chemotherapy and radiation. Where you start to see it more is in children who have more difficult-to-treat cancers. And there, you know, the way it works usually in our hospital is we have a series of experimental treatments that are more or less likely to work, and so we, you know, try and put them into that route. When these I think, frankly, quacks offer, you know, this sort of, you know, thing of, you know, choose what we're doing, you know, this is what your doctor doesn't want you to know about, and it's very expensive. I just think it takes advantage of desperate parents unnecessarily.
When you talk about quacks, do you include TV doctors like Dr. Oz?
No, I don't think Dr. Oz is a quack. I think he's a guy who really does care about his audience and wants to give them good advice and gives them a lot of good advice. I think, unfortunately, that good advice occasionally can be mixed in with some terrible advice. I mean, especially things like taking large quantities of vitamins intravenously, that's not good advice, and in fact can hurt you.
But there are others who are out there who are pushing things. And by the way, I whenever I see Dr. Oz and I see him talking about any of these alternative therapies, he says, you know, no one else will tell you about this. That right there, that phrase right there, as you mentioned before, oh, the big pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know about this. That is a tip-off to me that something is going on that's hinky.
Yeah, and also, it's funny to me. It's sort of phrased as, you know, it's like big pharma versus these little mom-and-pop operations. I mean, the sense that you get is that, you know, these dietary supplements or whatever are made by elves and old hippies on meadows. I mean, in fact, you know, this is big pharma. You know, Pfizer and Huffman LaRoche are major players in this game. I mean, it's big pharma versus big pharma. But I give credit to the marketers in this who are able to sell this as something other than that, something just natural and completely safe and as compared to big pharma, this is big pharma.
Yeah. when people say, oh, this is natural, what does that mean in scientific terms?
Well, I mean, Ebola virus and polio are natural. So are mosquitoes and lice. I don't know what the word means, frankly. I mean, if it means literally that it's derived from nature, you know, and so there are certainly many bad things in nature. Mother Nature can kill you. I just think... it's this thing from eyeglasses, which are unnatural, but certainly help. So I just think it's probably the word that's used that is the best word to market a product. And implied in that is safety. And I think that's unfair. Anything that has a positive effect can have a negative effect. And you have to know that. Unfortunately, it's hard to get that information on many of these products because the industry isn't regulated. That's the thing from conventional medicines where you certainly can easily find a list of side effects, and some of which are quite severe and occasionally fatal. But you know, you that's also true here, but you just don't know it because the industry is unregulated.
Yeah, it's unregulated, and so are the people who push that sort of stuff. And I can't help but wonder how frustrating it is to be the voice of science and you're in a world that's also filled with Deepak Chopra.
Yeah, and you know, and you're screaming in the wind at some level because what you're up against is a multi-billion-dollar industry that has the airwaves and has media savvy and is certainly politically connected, and they're the ones who are going to convince you because they have the money to do it. And when you just, you know, something like me or others who stand up for the science are sort of generally lone voices screaming in the wind.
Hey, who are you going to believe, the head of the Infectious Diseases Division at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia or Suzanne Summers, TV's Three's Company star?
Apparently the answer is Suzanne Summers. She's the one that is the go-to person when these producers look for somebody because she's attractive, she's well-known, and so people have seen her on TV, and so they find her believable. To me, it's the thing that's most amazing is there's a wonderful book called The Emperor of All Maladies. This is like the biography of cancer by a Rhodes Scholar who has an expertise in cancer. He's studied cancer, he's researched cancer, yet it's always Suzanne Summers that they pick because, you know, she's written a book that has all these claims about cancer therapies that work that have never been proven to work, whereas he writes this wonderful book about sort of the history of cancer chemotherapy. But it's always her that they choose because she's presumably better looking and, you know, she's somebody everybody knows.
Yeah, she's TV friendly. That's what it is.
Right.
And the producers know her name. Now, there is a part of this that I always try to keep in mind when I talk about this topic, and that is the word desperation. You deal with this on a regular basis, I'm sure. People who come to you who have somebody sick in their family, it might be them, it might be a relative, might be their kid, and they're desperate because they've been told there's no cure for this or there's no answer for this or they've tried various scientific medicines and other remedies and they haven't worked. And so because of their desperation, they turn to whatever might work. And that, to me, is understandable. It's the people who are exploiting that are the evil ones, I think.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, those who take care or take advantage of a parent's desperation, to me, are the lowest of the low. And I think you see it probably no more so than in a disorder like autism, where, you know, some parents find this to be both emotionally and financially burdensome and want to find something, anything magical that will make it all go away. And there are plenty of people out there who are perfectly willing to sell them that magic. The thing that's the worst is not only do these things not work, that some of them can be quite harmful. Things like bleach enemas have been offered. It's just hyperbaric oxygen chambers, restrictive diets, all of which can be harmful. And it's you know, the notion that when a child is suffering that you can't hurt them is wrong. You can certainly hurt them. And if what you're doing doesn't help, then it can only hurt them.
You wrote a book called Autism's False Prophets, where you exposed Jenny McCarthy and Andrew Wakefield and other people who are pushing the anti-vaccine line, which I consider to be evil. And I was really happy that you wrote that book, and you did a terrific job with it. But you got a lot of backlash from that, from the people who are proponents of that and their believers. Do you expect to get the same thing with Do You Believe in Magic?
Yes, I already have, actually, to some extent. It's interesting. I mean, what you've done is you've attacked a belief system in much the same way that religion is a belief system. And here it's sort of the church of vitamins and supplements, and or the church of chiropractic or homeopathy or acupuncture or naturopathy. And, you know, it's a belief system. And when you start to rattle that cage, shake that belief, people get angry. My attitude on this is let's just look at the data. Are the data supportive? Because sometimes they are supportive, and sometimes alternative therapies can work. But when they don't work, if an alternative medicine doesn't work, it's not an alternative. That's all I'm trying to say, is be careful. I mean, hold alternative medicine to the same level of skepticism that one holds conventional medicine. Don't give it a free pass.
Is there any hope of getting this stuff regulated?
I don't see it. John McCain recently tried to again sort of revisit the notion of dietary supplements. He too was upset that when people walk into these health food stores that they're getting advice from people who don't have any expertise or experience in this and are telling people how to treat their hypertension or their infections. But again, it was defeated. And the big player in this actually is Orrin Hatch. He represents a state that has several very big companies that make these nutraceuticals, and he's very influential and not to the good of the consumer.
The book is called Do You Believe in Magic? The Sense and Nonsense. That should be in much bigger letters, by the way. The Sense and Nonsense of Alternative Medicine. Dr. Paul Offit, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris, and this is America Weekend.